Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1588 or on the screen. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Father, we are so thankful for all the blessings you've given to us in our life. Just this past week, as we think back on Thanksgiving and just that moment to reflect and just to realize that you brought us through so much, God, we pray that you give us strength to even see our hardships and difficulties as blessings as well. And Father, as we move from Thanksgiving, may you move our hearts forward to hope, God. I pray, Father, that you would begin to break through something new and special in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our faith. Lord God, let this service today just really be a time where we turn our eyes to you in hope. We pray, Lord, that you would speak the words that need to be spoken. And we pray that, Lord, you would take center stage right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I was sharing with the worship team that as a Canadian, we usually celebrate Thanksgiving in October. So when I first came here, I was a little surprised by how important Thanksgiving was. We do celebrate it for sure, and we do eat lots of food, but I think Americans even more food. And, you know, and then this strange phenomenon called Black Friday. What is this? Where, you know, everyone's like waking up really early in the morning to, you know, camp outside in the cold for, like, deals and sales and such. And, you know, it's really interesting for me because as a pastor, I'm not accustomed to preparing for Christmas so quickly right after Thanksgiving. Usually I think I have a month left, but it comes right after. But it is very appropriate that as we end our time of Thanksgiving, as we end our time of reflection on the past blessings, the next week, now we now kind of look forward to what the future might hold for us. And one of the things I was thinking about when I think of Christmas is that it's a time of surprises. You know, what do you think when you hear the words, "Surprise, I have something for you"? You know, maybe some of you in this room might be thinking, "That's great, I can't wait. You know, I can't wait to see what this surprise is." You get all excited. And some people are like, "Surprise, what are you going to do? What, should I be sitting? Is this a gag? Am I going to get hurt?" You know? Surprise. What do we think of? I know that it's said that many pastors suffer from stress, but not actually the stress that you think of. It's not so much the actual physical, you know, responsibilities and tasks, as much as the threat of disaster around the corner. Apparently, like a lot of pastors, they'll be always thinking, like, you know, at every turn, there's this potential for something greater to kind of fall apart or whatever. And it's that kind of potential stress, that fear of the surprise, that kind of adds a lot of stress to a lot of pastors in a recent survey. And I wonder, you know, sometimes the problem with surprises is that we're thinking, we don't like surprises because we can't control the outcome. You know, that's why it's a surprise. You know, surprise gifts are nice, but what happens when the surprise is not a gift? You know, what happens if the surprise is an unexpected tragedy? An unexpected challenge? And no one likes that. I remember thinking as a young boy, I'm very different now, but I remember very distinctly, I think I was in grade 7, I was brushing my teeth, and I was thinking, hey, so every day I wake up, I do this, I brush my teeth, I go to school, and I come back at the same time. Everything just kind of, it's all nicely arranged. You know, I don't have to think about anything. I just show up and just do what I need to do. Don't have to really make any decisions. This is nice. As I got older, I changed, of course. But many of us like that. We like to kind of have our jobs, our families, our friendships, our relationships, all kind of neatly packaged for us. Many of us, you know, who are in school or in college, we're kind of complaining about our tests and our exams. But then many who are outside of college, we're all kind of longing for that day. I wish someone gave me a schedule. Just go, wake up, you know, go to sleep again. I miss those days. And we would all like to live in that safe, comfortable bubble world. You know, a life with no surprises, a life that is guaranteed, a future that is sure and without complications. So how does this bring us to Mary and Joseph? Well, you see, as you read here, Mary was one who was confronted with the surprise of God. And I'd like to kind of begin today's message just thinking about how should we respond to God in the midst of our surprises? When God kind of throws you this surprise, this curveball, how shall we respond? Will we say, ah, God, I really didn't want this? Or God, this is terrible. When we're surprised by life, we began to imagine all of the things that will go wrong and fall apart. You know, I think of many surprise moments in my life. The first thing I'm thinking of is my brain is working like a million miles per hour, and I am foreseeing all of the things that can go wrong. And I'm thinking in detail, in a split second, about how terrible everything is going to be. And that every end scenario is not going to be favorable. But here we are in Luke chapter 1. When God presents us with his good news, when he presents us with his vision and his hope and his promise for our future, could we actually be as bold to, rather than forecast all of the possible wrongs, to maybe dare to hope in the midst of changing circumstances? Could we dare to believe even the challenges and struggles we face are an opportunity for God to surprise us even more with a blessing? And so as we turn to this small town of Galilee, we see Joseph and Mary, an ordinary young couple about to embark on a life together. But Gabriel, the angel, gives them the surprise of their life. And see, Gabriel kind of comes onto the scene. I think this is interesting. He says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You know, the angel appears and says, greetings, you know, you're so blessed by God. And what is Mary's first reaction, we read? Mary was greatly troubled. You know, sometimes God comes to us and he says, I have good news for you. He wants to speak into your life. He wants to bless you. And the first response we think is like, oh boy, here we go. What's in it for you, God? You know, I'm greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And so she began, it's funny, it's like, what kind of greeting might this be? It's like, well, didn't the angel just say, like, you're favored? It's like, no, she's thinking, like, God must be up to something. There must be some hidden thing behind this message of blessing. No, God, come on, tell me the truth. And you know, what happens when the message of God appears to us? You know, maybe some of you, as you're getting closer to God, God is beginning to reveal to you what his desire is for your life. And he's beginning to press something on your heart. Like, this is something that I want to serve in. Or maybe that person that I've always been kind of putting off, like God's starting to bring back this vision to pray for them. Or maybe he's really asking me for a great step of faith. And when we start to get those glimpses of God's calling, of God speaking his message into our life, many times we're afraid. Angel literally means messenger in English. What happens when the messenger of God comes to us? Are we thinking we're greatly troubled and we're wondering what God is up to? I assure you, and I felt the in these very strong ways, God was nudging my heart to go to seminary and to be a pastor. I was very much like this. I was greatly troubled. God, how could you burden me with this pastorship? Because I had seen how much my father had suffered as a pastor. I didn't want a part of it. And I began to think, you know, God, what have I done that you have smited me with this pastorship? You know, what have you, you know, why are you so cruel to me? And before we let God speak to us, we begin to let our thoughts run wild with what God might do to us. Will he drag us to a place that we absolutely hate? Will he make us do things that we absolutely despise? And we must just simply grin and bear it because we are good Christian people. You know, what great task or burden is God going to force on me? What did I do wrong? I'm in trouble, God, aren't I? God, why are you picking on me? And it's no surprise that the angel responds to Mary's initial reaction with the words, "Don't be afraid," and repeats again, "You are favored by God." And this is hard, but when God's message comes to us, we must remember that God is ultimately always working for the good, for our good. He is working all things out for good. And when difficult times come, he will not abandon us right before it happens. The Lord is with you, as the angel says. You are favored by God. And so I can just see Mary maybe relaxing a little bit, beginning to think, okay, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That's what I learned in temple. You are the good God. What's some good verses to remember that? Yes, God's love is everlasting. Okay, all right. This is an angel of God. God is good. All right. How bad could the news be? Okay, James. Okay, angel. Go ahead. What do you have to say? You're having a baby. Oh, man! I knew it was bad news. Just, you know, isn't that funny? It's like, okay, God, I'm ready to hear your message. You're having a baby. Now, we have to understand how Mary felt. Mary was very young. In fact, many of the cool church kids, she might have been around your age when she heard this news. She might have been thinking, man, I'm too young for this. I'm going to be having the baby of the Lord Most High. I'm going to be disgraced. Think about it. She goes into town. I'm having a baby. So how? Through God? Yeah, right. A lot of people would start to make their own conclusions. Think about the trouble and the difficulty that would await her. Many of you who have had children know that any pregnancy is not easy. There's no such thing as an easy pregnancy. And at such a young age, when we hear this conviction and the calling from God, and we start thinking, oh, okay, I was trying to prepare about it. I was trying to be all like civilized and composed. But once we start to really kind of hear God's voice for us, once again, those fears come flooding back into our life. And so, once again, we have to ask the words, how shall we respond to God's surprising messages in our life? When God's surprises come to us, rather than daring to hope, we fall into complaining, fear, and anxiousness. But think of what God could do if we turned around and said, God, I trust you. And this is the really amazing thing. In light of this just mind-blowing news that Mary receives, how amazing is verse 38. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And as you begin this first week of Advent, as you begin to prepare our hearts to understand the greatness of the message of Christmas, I'd like us to think about the meaning of Christmas. And today, I'd like to offer this. I think Christmas means, in the surprises of my life, God, I will trust you. Lord, this surprise in my life, I have no idea how it's going to work out. But the good news of Christmas is that with man and woman, it is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Verse 37. You know, as I continue to study the history of CCC, I am so honored to be here with generations of believers who have gone through many surprises and many difficulties and many seasons. But yet, here we still are. And are we here because of our own power? No, we are here because with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We would have no Christmas if Mary said, "No way, God. There is no way this is going to work. There is no way I'm having a baby. And there's certainly no way that this son will do what you have promised. Count me out." And I do feel that we must give our honor and respect to Mary in this way, is that I think she did take a step of faith to say, "God, what you just said to me, honestly, sounds pretty crazy. But verse 38, I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said." And God calls us to trust when our world is shaken. He dares us to hope in the midst of unpleasant surprises. And when Mary first heard God's message, she questioned. And I would question, and it's okay to question. But what will we come back to ultimately? And I hope the answer we can find, as we see in Scripture today, is that with God, all things are possible. In the midst of a constant stream of surprising news, how can God do a miracle in my circumstances? We look at verse 35. The miracle that happened with Mary is the same way the miracle will happen in our lives. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. How will God do these great things in our lives? How will He transform this building on I Street into a great beacon of God's glory? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. How can I transform my family that is as broken as it is, as hurting as it is, into a place of grace and mercy? The power of the Most High will overshadow you. What shall I offer to people this Christmas, where when they go to Christmas, they're feeling more pain and resentment than joy and thanksgiving because of all the feelings attached with Christmas? Today we light the candle of hope because we know that the power of the Most High can come over us. It is this very God who came over a very broken, a very embarrassing family that is listed in Matthew chapter 1. It is a collection of unlikely people. If they all came together for Thanksgiving, no doubt there would be a lot of fighting and a lot of uncomfortable moments. Matthew chapter 1 is a portrait of bad backgrounds, shady occupations, and character flaws. But the power and the miracle of Matthew chapter 1 is at the very end of it, is that this we discover, this bad family, is what God has chosen to be the descendants of Jesus. Why? To show that God can work through anything. To show that salvation comes from God and not from us. You know, I don't know if you're a problem solver. Myself, I love to solve problems and try and figure things out. If something's wrong, I want to try and figure out how to make it work. But God is trying to tell me is that, Sam, this doesn't work through clever problem solving. This works through grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. God is accustomed to working in messy situations. You know, some people might say that this church is messy. It's really messy. My family is really messy. My relationships are really messy. And you know, God is saying, well, that's my element. I love to work in messy places. He is used to doing the miraculous in the ordinary. He is used to doing the miraculous in those uncomfortable surprises. What is required is that you join the statement of Mary to say that, God, I trust you. May it be to me as you have said. As a pastor who's counseled a lot, I have met many people with behavioral depression. And one thing I think that's a common trait throughout people who suffer from depression is that they are locked in this situation where they really believe that no matter what happens, nothing will change. When circumstances hit, we are victims, and it is another reminder that things will not get better. A simpler way to say this is hope is gone. And the reality is, we will not survive this life that God has for us if we have no hope. Because when you have no hope, we doubt that good can come out of our life challenges. We doubt that God can create new life inside of us. That God can make salvation come through us. But once that moment, once we cry out to God and say, like, God, the hope will not come from me, but it will come from you. When we begin to turn it around and begin to say that, God, salvation is in your hands, in your grace, not in what I do. When we begin to say, I will hope in you more than I am afraid of the future. Once we start to change our attitudes and our hearts and our gaze to the living God, away from the troubles of our world, hope begins to be birthed again in our lives. And we can begin to hear again the words that say, I am the God who saves. I am the God who can create something out of nothing. I am a God who can make new life. I am here to birth hope in your life. Let me tell you, greater than any gift you can give this Christmas, the world is so desperate to hear this. Day in, day out, I see people who are so desperate to hear, I know your life is hard. I know you have seen many things. You have been surprised in many unpleasant ways. But in that difficult situation, nothing is impossible for God. How different this world would be if we heard more of this message. And this Advent season is a challenge to us all. In the midst of our life surprises, could we say to God, may it be to me as you have said. I am so excited for the future. Not because it's going to be pleasant. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of difficult times coming. But I'm excited because I know that my hope is sure. Because my hope is not in the shifting world that we live in, but is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone. And together as a family at CCC, I encourage us to all come together with this hope that is in Jesus Christ.